When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And today we are talking, if mom doesn't hit her microphone
too many times,
you're not supposed to do that. That's a podcast foul. Instead of a party foul.
Podcast foul.
Podcast foul. what was that we recorded? And we were like, what's going on in our...
Oh, and it was bouncing against the
pop,
guard.
Or the pop shield.
Yeah.
Is that... It's
no,
not
it
called
was
the pop
bouncing
shield.
Against, what's this thing called on here on the microphone? What's this?
It was That's popping the shock this. Mount.
It was hitting the shock mount.
Okay.
See how I've got it twisted over right there? Uh-huh. I fixed it.
Road,
I can fix anything.
Road
can't
pod,
I, Mallory?
Yes, you can fix microphones. Road podcasting microphones. You can send us some new shock mounts if you'd like.
I fixed Mallory's kitchen drawers yesterday. Was that yesterday? That was yesterday.
Yeah, you know, I was trying to get this across to you the other day. I don't know if I did completely.
You're
but
trying to tell me something?
Yeah, I need to tell you something, so I'll do it right now. But I was saying that you and my dad always made me feel like we could do anything.
Well, you can.
Okay, but I think that this might have given me...
the impression that you could do anything.
But also that, like, anybody can, like...
Oh, right. You don't...
Do any... No.
Right,
Let me finish.
I
this
get
is,
it.
This
yeah.
is the problem.
I think I get this.
This is the problem.
You expect it from everyone.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying that I've been doing, like, lots of things.
Okay.
So maybe, like, too many things.
Well,
because,
yeah.
Because I've been thinking, I can do everything. And I don't mean to say that, like, it's your fault or something, but
right.
I think I need to know that, you know, you can only do so much.
Right. Other people can do things for you also.
Yes. And you can only do so much and da-da-da-da-da. I've been reading about core competencies. I told my husband that... laundry is not one of my core competencies.
I don't even know what core competency means, and I know it's not one of yours.
I said, Derek, I'm not good at laundry. And he was like, I don't think that someone can be bad at laundry.
Oh, yes,
and
they
I
can.
Said, what you're looking
they
at
can.
It, you know. So anyway, I was like, I think one of your core competencies is laundry, and so he's doing the laundry from now on. Anyway, I guess what I'm trying to say is that if you have a lot of skills – you know, you need to figure out what you do best, what you like to do best, and you need to...
Or what
to,
you want to do.
Yeah, and you need to,
what
like...
What you enjoy the most, maybe.
You need to, and I need to, focus it up a little bit.
Sometimes you have to focus,
and
yes.
And I'm doing that right now, and it feels
well
so focusing
I mean,
good.
If you think about all the things I've done in my life...
yes. Like, you were not a good example for focus.
No.
No.
I mean, you know, the pottery and, I mean, what else? Like, everything.
You're an excellent example for creativity and energy and everything, you know?
Yeah.
I just...
And being able to, like, Yeah, I'm trying to think what I don't do.
I think maybe I'm just not as
organized. I don't jump out of airplanes.
I think maybe I'm not as organized as you are, and that's okay. It's okay. Maybe
it would be nice if I would have taught you how to be more organized. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, Mom. No, this is so I'm talking to my therapist.
Here's
about
what happened. Here's what happened. I did too much for you.
Is that right? That's okay. Okay.
I'm not doing that. I don't do that anymore. Have you noticed? I do less for everybody now.
You came over and fixed my drawers.
Well, I did.
Okay, let's get on to the topic at hand. We're going to get another one of those lovely iTunes reviews about going off on tangents.
I want to breastfeed my baby.
We had a kerfuffle in the group about breastfeeding.
Okay, you guys.
I handled it.
I have to tell you this. I breastfed every child I had out in public. And I don't remember anyone reacting to it. And that was almost 40 years ago.
I just breastfed in public like 3 hours ago. No one said anything.
All I know is apparently people were walking by me going, oh, what a terrible person. And I didn't know it.
Well, there are people in the...
And I didn't know it.
I corrected someone in the Facebook group who had a reaction like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, sewing for nursing is not the topic of this podcast either. And neither is like Mallory's psychological tics about organization and whatnot. That is not the topic of the podcast. The topic of the podcast is smart sewing machines.
Because sewing machines are smarter than us now.
That's right. I think I want to talk about like first wave smart sewing machines.
Okay.
And then sort of like second wave smart sewing machines.
Okay, I want to see how you're going to talk about this. I'm going to listen.
Okay, great. Sure. Yeah.
I'll correct you.
All right. So some of the first smart things that came with sewing machines, and when I say smart, I'm kind of using this in the term of smartphone. Okay.
Right. Like electronics.
Electronic. So we're talking about electronic, then on to computerized machines. Right. Okay. Electronic machines, there's a difference, right?
Oh, yeah.
Between electronic.
Yeah. Mechanical. Electronic machines did not have software in them.
That's right. Right. There's mechanical, there's electronic,
and then there's computerized. Right.
Okay. So I'd say down in mechanical land, we don't have the, you know, smart machine features there, okay? They were sewing machines that were very straightforward.
Your sewing machine could not outsmart you.
Right.
It was just what it was, and if you weren't smart enough to use it, tough.
That's right. Right. And I'm not saying anything against those machines or anything, but...
We have some.
We move on to electronic machines, and we've worked on electronic machines, of course, and I think that once...
Well, our sergers are mechanical
machines. Our sergers are mechanical. Now, they're smart, though, but we won't get into them. Go listen to the episode where we just... talk about how much we love baby lock sergers and how smart they are. Electronic machines, okay, and their smart features.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking things like needle up, needle down.
Right.
Where you can say, hey, sewing machine, every time I take my foot off the pedal, I want you to continue on in the needle cycle.
Right, complete the cycle up or down.
Up or down.
And another thing that they had that was very, very convenient was they had a governor on them for needle swing so that you could, if you put in a double needle.
You can, yes, that's another.
Right, it would keep your needle from swinging too far and breaking those double needles.
Yes, there's another feature of an electronic machine that was a smart feature.
Right.
Also, on some brands in the electronic land, there were things... like on the foot pedal, heel
exactly.
tap, heel tap for
toe tap, heel tap
For needle up, needle down,
right.
And I'm not going to talk about a knee lift as a smart feature because those were on those could have been on
mechanical. Yeah. No, they were on mechanical.
I don't think people realize about
In fact, a knee lift is mechanical.
Yes, until we get to the
computerized machines, right?
I don't think people realize that whole needle up, needle down thing and how important it is.
Well.
Or can be.
How convenient, too. I mean, yes. I mean, I
people who've never sewn on a machine that will just stop any which where don't understand.
Right.
Because when your needle's in the highest position, that's when it's the easiest to raise the presser foot and get your fabric out from right. under there. It allows the thread to run through.
Right.
So if you were working on an older mechanical machine, you'd have to turn that hand wheel.
That's right.
Until you got to that place.
And you basically are eyeballing or doing the high, you know, needle mm-hmm. high by feel or eyeball.
Right, right. On electronic machines as well, no, I don't think you don't have the bobbin sensor. We have to get to computerized machines for that, I believe, because that's been a topic of discussion.
I think
so.
The one thing you did have on your electronic machines is that the stitches were
automatic.
Automatic versus like placing yes. a cam in mm-hmm. or dialing, you know. The ones where you actually dial, you're dialing a cam into position is what you're doing.
So if you have a machine where you can just pick zigzag and then start stitching,
right.
if you can just hit a button and start stitching a zigzag, your machine is smarter than machines were for a very long time.
Right.
Because you used to have to go, okay, zigzag. Now, what's the length and the width that I have to input right. for this? Or right. I want this blind hem stitch. Right. Or
And there was a... machines with cams at one time, mm-hmm. and that was how you got decorative stitches. And what a cam was, it was a disc, so to speak, that it was like a wheel, you know, two cog wheels, and the one followed the misshapen,
right.
Wheel, and that's how you got that stitch.
Right. It would help your machine move in the right way. But I think that electronic machines will sometimes have thread cutters. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
And thread cutters are super cool.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they are.
So the electronic machines, when you cut the thread, people are like, oh, I can cut my own thread. Something, though, about the thread cutter is it will then bring your needle up to right. the correct position.
And then supposedly you have the right amount of thread from your bobbin up to,
right.
to right. Start sewing again.
So... That's our little first wave smart machines. Now we're going to take a quick message break, and that will be very quick, and then come back and blow your mind with some of the weird, crazy, next generation stuff that is on some sewing machines nowadays.
Hey, Mal.
Hey, Mom.
I heard you were easy.
Oh, no!
What does that mean?
No, it means what you really heard was... Well, Mallory, your easy tee looks so good on you.
Oh, yes. I should have known if that it was something about something you made.
Like you said, you're getting into your golden years. Sometimes, you know, mishearing things. It happens.
No, you're
right?
the one that mishears things. I know this. You make lapel pins about it.
Okay. So I am currently wearing an easy tee, and I wear them all the time. The easy tee is a semi-fitted short sleeve t-shirt made out of a woven fabric. And you draft the easy tee to fit your measurements by taking the easy tee class.
Well, how do I take this class?
It's an online class that you can watch anytime on sewhere.com. To purchase the class, go to sewhere.com/easy tee. That's just EASYT.
Is this on my computer?
It's on your computer. It's on your phone. It's on your iPad. The class is divided up into short, easily consumable segments, some of which you may not ever need to watch ever again, but some of which you might want to revisit. So you have the ability to mark lessons as completed and also to star lessons so you can go back and revisit the ones that are most important to you.
And I can vouch, Mallory's easy tee is a lot easier than Mallory is.
Once again, go to sewhere.com/easy tee to begin your pattern drafting journey.
Sewing out loud.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back.
Yes, we are.
Okay, we have a baby lock Destiny sitting over there.
Yep. And monster machine.
Oh, excuse me. A Destiny 2.
That's correct. That is correct.
Excuse me.
Monster machine.
It is a monster.
Has a camera.
It has a camera on it, guys. It has a camera. Now, I feel like if I were...
It plays music.
If I was head of marketing at like Baby Lock or any machine company where there was a machine with a camera,
yeah,
I would buy some ad time somewhere. I mean, I guess you could do it on a podcast, right?
Right.
And this is what my ad would be like. There's a camera on this machine, okay? There's a camera on it. Like, did you know that this machine has a camera? Because it will take a picture of what you are about to embroider upon, and then you can perfectly place your embroidery, okay? It has a camera. Like, oh my God. And that would be my ad spot. That's my pitch.
That's it.
I'm basically...
I know everybody's going to stop listening to this podcast and run out and buy that machine now.
I'm the Don Draper, right? I'm of, you know, from Mad Men. But it will. It will take a picture.
Yep.
People, for years. I mean, I remember I've been around embroidery for...
You were embroidering when it was relatively new. I'm trying to think. Like, you know, the first machines were 93, 94, 95. 95 was when it really, really hit.
And I'll just say, I was born in 89.
Right.
Okay, so you all are like, you haven't been embroidering for a long time. And I'm like, no, I really did start embroidering.
I would say you were about 8.
And 12, I would say I could run it, like, by myself.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I
you
would
were
run,
doing jacket backs at 12,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and I was, like, running the software and everything. Like,
right.
I'm familiar
right.
with embroidery
well,
and its
running
challenges.
The software, I don't know if you remember the software, but you had, you know, in order to do something, you had to plot every single point.
Yes.
Or whatever.
Yes. No,
yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
And I remember you learning it. I mean, that's right. How I learned it and everything. But I'm familiar with the challenges of embroidery placement, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay. You're just vouching for mine.
I'm vouching.
Okay. I just want to.
You probably have as much experience as anyone that is your age, I'm sure.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you. Just want to get that out there so that people aren't like, I don't know, you know. But whenever anyone's like, where should I put this? How can I tell if it's in the right place? I'm like, well, you know how you could really tell? If you had a camera on your sewing machine. I mean, I just, now, these machines with cameras on them, they are just objectively expensive, okay? They are, I think, anyone.
Objectively? Not subjectively.
No, not subjectively.
You're saying
I'm saying
you think they're expensive.
Even if you make $1 million an hour, you might think, my, that's a hefty price tag for a
sewing machine,
you know? Now, is it worth it? If you love sewing and
this, oh, yeah,
it,
right.
and this
if
is what you want
to
spend your money on, you know, absolutely. Like, if the camera works, it takes a picture of your project.
It'll take a picture of your hand, too,
yeah,
if you
will.
Put it under there.
It will. You can take a picture of anything.
You could, I guess if you could get your face under there, it would
okay,
take a
picture. Okay, so that's the part of the camera that I find to be...
You mean...
The application, of the camera that I find to be the most useful for me. Now, you can also, on that machine, use the camera right before you sew, not just while
you're...
Not just while you're embroidering.
Right.
You can see where your needle's going to go.
That's right.
It will superimpose a dot, and it'll say, oh, you want to start stitching at your previous stitching line? You want to sink that needle down right there? It's going to be like, well, your fabric is going to move this much with the feed dogs, and I'm going to show you right where that needle's going to go.
Well, we know from being dealers that there were people that would buy that machine and never sew. They only embroidered.
That's right.
So they bought it. And they only embroidered. They had that machine, and it was capable of all of those things.
And you know, if they never wanted...
And they never sewed.
If they never wanted to worry about where the heck to place their embroidery, they didn't have to,
nope.
You know? So So then another function of the camera, and this is really interesting to me with some new information that I have. So Baby Lock's top of the line a few years ago was the Alissimo.
Right.
And I was teaching some classes on the Alissimo and teaching about that edge guiding function of the camera.
Yeah.
So this is literally everybody, listeners, picture a piece of fabric, like a rectangle, a fabric. And what I did on my, like, 11-inch by 8-inch rectangle was I cut kind of a gentle wave along one side. And using the machine, you could put the fabric under there and say, hey, stitch this far away from the edge of the fabric. And it would automatically do it. It could sense where the edge of the fabric was. So this could really help you in getting the correct seam allowance. But I hear that this is actually technology that's being used to try and automate the production of clothing now.
Oh, I bet.
And the people in the article that I was reading, this is just about a year ago, when I was first formulating the self-sewn wardrobe, they were acting like it was really new. And I'm like, you know, sure. I was like, huh, I wonder how new this is, because it's been on that, it was on that Alissimo.
Right.
You know, for a long time, and I actually hadn't used it. You know, to be honest, it wasn't that useful to me. I could keep an even seam allowance, you know, but I, you know, sometimes we have customers with failing eyesight or dexterity issues or something. So anyway, your sewing machine can have a camera on it, everybody. Did you know that your sewing machine can also have a laser on it?
A laser light.
It is a laser. Did you remember we got in trouble with one brand saying something was a laser, but this is actually
a laser.
The other light was an LED light.
That's right.
So there's a laser that will shine down upon your fabric and help you do whatever you want to do there.
Right. It marks where you're going to sew, basically.
Well, or it could mark your seam allowance.
Well, that's true.
So you could line it up with where you're going to stitch.
Yeah, you're right.
Or
where you're going to stitch next to.
I always like to show it like I'd make a wide zigzag.
Uh-huh.
And say, would you like your line to go in the middle of your zigzag? Would you like it to go to the right, like within your zigzag?
Right.
And you could, you know, for applique or something like that, or a blanket stitch.
Uh-huh.
And you could line up the light with the straight part of the blanket stitch. I just always thought that was really, really, really a sharp, you know, way to demo that.
Right.
So there can be lasers. Let's back up. Memory.
When you don't have one, your machine will.
Now, this is there are a couple different types of memory in sewing machines.
Yes.
So, can you talk about one of the types, Mom?
Well, there's a type where you can alter a stitch from what the manufacturer's original stitch was. So, you can alter the length and the width, and you can keep it.
Right.
In a memory someplace.
Mm-hmm.
So that if you have a project where, say, you've made your zigzag only 2 millimeters wide, but it's, you know, four in length or whatever, you can go back to that. And for that project, you know you can repeat that stitch exactly.
Right.
Now, you know, I used to write that on a Post-it note before I had a machine with memory, but now I can put it in my machine.
That's right. And what's the
And I used to write down everybody's phone number, too.
That's right.
And now they're all in my phone.
What's the other type of memory? So that's like long-term memory.
Right.
And then there's short-term memory.
Yes.
Which I don't think people realize some machines have and some machines don't.
Right.
So while you have your machine on, if you change that zigzag stitch.
Right.
And then you go to a straight stitch.
Right.
And then you go back to the zigzag.
It will have remembered that.
Sometimes.
Some of them. You have to check out your machine. Some do and some don't. And then when you turn your machine off.
It'll reset.
It resets to the manufacturer's settings.
So that temporary memory can be good if you're still working on the same project.
Right.
Or if you left your machine on and then you go and you expect the zigzag to be... like a normal zigzag, and you wonder why it's a 4 in length you start sewing, that's because you did that.
Right.
So there are two types of, like, stitch memory. I guess there's memory in that you can save embroidery designs and stuff, but that's always been
that,
kind of
but that's
a feature of
that's
embroidery.
That's also a computer
Yes.
I mean, that's an aspect of its programming.
That's right. That's right. The other thing that I think is really cool is fabric sensors.
Okay.
Okay. So on the Destiny and on a couple, you know, some other big old computerized machines, you turn on a fabric sensor.
Right.
And then every time you put your foot down, the machine is going, oh.
Oh, I feel it.
Oh, this is 6 layers.
Oh, I'm sensing you.
Oh, this is 2. Okay, you know, and it's apparently it's compensating for that.
Right.
You know, for what's going on there. And I never felt like I really needed this too much.
Uh-huh. Until?
Till I did a little quilt sample. I was demoing something, and our district manager, when we were, that's not what her title was. I never.
That's not her
title. It's not her title.
Right.
Judy.
Regional manager, maybe.
Yes, regional sales manager.
Whatever.
She, I'm sorry, Judy. I've known this woman for like 10 years, right. And I don't know her title, okay?
You've known her longer than that.
Okay, yeah. So she said, you know, you need to try this with the fabric sensor.
Right.
This quilting, you know, project with a fabric sensor. And I turned it on. It made a huge difference. I think it makes a big difference when you're kind of doing like a real long haul line of stitching.
Okay.
Like across a quilt, uh-huh. You know. Whereas when I was just setting in a sleeve, you know, it's just not that much stitching. You're
right.
Using it in. You know, I didn't really find a need for it. I think that that can be more useful for something like quilting.
Or what about fabrics that have like a pile to them or something?
Yes, it's recommended right. For that as well. And to be honest, I don't, you know, I haven't done a lot with like
velvet or fur
woven velvet. Or, yeah. You know, I've uh-huh. done a lot with stretch velvet uh-huh. on the serger and things like that.
Yeah. Will anyone ever use woven velvet again?
Well,
now that there's stretch velvet, who knows?
And technically, if you want to be a purist, it's not stretch velvet; it's velour.
It is.
It's you right. know. I said something in my
you're
lingerie
right. you're
group.
Correct.
I called it stretch velour, and people were like, "Thank goodness you called it the right
it
thing."
Is.
And I was like, "It's okay. Calm down." I don't think anybody's dying because someone calls it stretch velvet. I don't know.
Well, I've seen it described as stretch velvet.
Yes.
Right.
I understand why
right.
people call it that.
Right.
Right? You know? But
well, and you know there's velvet and velveteen. Did you know that?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. No, there's all sorts of...
Yes.
Well, and then I feel like some fabric companies have come around lately, popped up, and they're calling things... Whatever they want to call them. I mean, jersey is being, the term jersey is being thrown
mm-hmm.
around
yeah, it is.
Quite loosely,
yes.
I believe. In my understanding, jersey is a knitted fabric.
Right.
That may not have spandex in it.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Jersey is a type of knit, the pattern of the knit, I believe.
Well, maybe we're wrong. but I don't
Well, it
know.
Doesn't have to have spandex in it. I can guarantee
right,
you that.
Right, right. I see people just, like, saying jersey, though, to, like, describe all knits. And I'm like, no, that's it's not quite the right way to put it, I don't think. And then they get something, and they're surprised.
Right.
You
well,
know?
There used to be a finite...
Yeah. Amount
types of
types,
fabric.
There you go.
And there's not anymore.
Right.
There's a new fabric tomorrow.
Well, and so that fabric sensor system, it'll sense height,
right.
depth, you know, of fabric.
Yes.
But it won't sense this fabric is stretchy.
No.
You know, or something
right.
like that. Oh, and you know what? Okay, last but not least, bobbin sensor.
We
skimmed over this earlier. Okay. Bobbin sensor, love them or hate them, Mom. What do you think?
Well, I think we should love them.
Okay.
And I think people should get real about bobbins. Here's my advice. If you sew and you like to sew, you should do things that, you know, support your sewing. You need more than 5 bobbins, okay?
No, you need more than 15.
I would say a minimum of 20 bobbins.
There you
okay?
go.
Okay? And if I have a big project... And I'm worried about a bobbin running out, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Let's wind 2 bobbins.
Right.
Okay? You'll probably use it again.
Yes.
Okay? I have sometimes 3 to 4, like, off-white bobbins, you know, wound, or, you know, 2 black bobbins and 2 or 3 beige bobbins. So I can just grab them out of there and go to town.
How many bobbins come?
Do I have?
Yeah. How many bobbins do you have? We should have counted.
Per machine?
Yeah. It's got to be 100 per machine.
At least 50.
Yeah.
At least.
At least 50 per machine. And we do.
Hey, I don't mess around.
No, we don't. We don't apologize for our bobbin.
No, I'm not apologizing for my excessive bobbin ownership.
That's right. Well, and I just want to say that with this smart machine,
because
thing,
I want an empty bobbin when I want an empty bobbin, right, and I want a full bobbin when I want a full bobbin. When my bobbin sensor says I'm low, I don't freak out. I put a new bobbin in.
There you go. Now, just so you know, bobbin sensor people who are haters, and you're like, oh, it keeps on, my bobbin's almost empty, but it's not almost empty. And you press the OK button, right, and it tells you again in like 5 stitches, you know, right, da 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 da. You can turn it off.
That's true.
But remember, you did that.
That's right.
And then don't be upset when you've been sewing with no thread for a while.
Right.
Okay. And listen to your machine, right? You can be your own bobbin sensor. It will sound different.
It does sound different.
When you're sewing with no
thread. Although I have, I have to admit, there have been days where I have sewn.
Oh, I've done it too. You know, yeah.
2 feet and went, well, been no bobbin there.
And that's why you run your finger along your seam you sew it.
That's right.
Okay. I mean, I do that on my serger seams, especially when I'm going through like 3 or 4 layers of fabric.
Right.
I'm like, oh, I catch everything, you know. but that's why you do that when you're sewing with a lock stitch on your sewing machine, so that you make sure.
So bobbin sensors should be our friends.
They should be
our
friends.
If you don't like them, turn them off and sew like you're in the dark ages. What do I care?
So you don't have to have all these smart things, but I did want to make a point that
Some machines are smarter than you.
That's right. That's right.
Because you'll go to sew and it will say, lower your presser foot.
Yep.
Or you'll go to try and thread it and it will say, raise your presser foot. It will give you a message that says that.
That's right. And that can
be
very
Or it will
helpful.
Say, you'll be trying to sew and your machine won't go and it will say, bobbin winder engaged. You know? And I don't know who Bob and Winder's marry, but they get engaged all the time.
Nice one. You know, that might be better than the soup can joke.
Yeah, I hope you guys listened to this when I was a can of soup.
We got our first comment on this podcast through the Podbean app, and it was about the soup label. And it was just like, it was so funny when Mallory tried to call Zeddy a soup can. And I think she was
I was not accepting of it at all.
She was making fun of me, but she thought it was funny that that it went over like a lead balloon.
It really did.
Okay. So you don't have to have these smart features, but do think, if you think, some people might say, oh, I'm sewing on a really basic machine. But if you have needle up, needle down, or things
well,
like
you
that,
know,
you're a little ahead
remember
of game.
How it was all used to be only the high-end machines had a needle threader?
Yeah.
And
we didn't even talk about
needle threaders. I mean, is there even a machine that, well, because it's mechanical usually. Well, what machines don't have a needle threader anymore? I don't even know if there are any.
I think.
I guess some very, very basic.
Right.
$69 sewing machines that I wouldn't have anyway. Excuse me. Sorry, everybody, but
we're going to get one of those elitist
comments. I'm sorry. It probably is. I just don't know.
It's probably not a very good tool.
Yeah, it's not
going to
last.
No, we can say that. We've been sewing a long time. I've seen $69 machines and how they work. But, yeah, a mechanical needle threader is something that is put on a lot of machines nowadays.
Now, the high end do have electronic.
Not necessarily computerized.
But it's electronic. Yes. And you press a button and it goes, zoom, bop.
You're needle threaded. The only thing you have to do when you have one of those is to push the button to thread the needle.
Right.
You do have to do that. It won't thread it if you don't press the button.
No. Okay? And you also have to put the thread there.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
Thread has to be there. So
I have tried to sew and been like, oh, I didn't push that button in order to thread the needle for me. Why didn't it remind me to do that?
That happens. That does happen.
Yeah.
Well, especially if you're going from machine to machine, which we do. We switch around.
So I just want to say, if you want a laser and a camera on your machine, you can.
It exists.
If you think that's cray cray, you don't have to have it. And
that's right.
Everything in between.
That's right.
There's all sorts of levels of, you know, smart and helpful. And but man, a camera on an embroidery machine.
There are people who really, really love to embroider.
Oh yeah.
You know, I mean that, and I was never satisfied with just embroidery. I had to also sew.
Yeah, me too.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, I think that's the end of this podcast. And thank you all so much for listening.
And go buy some bobbins.
Go buy some bobbins and do whatever you want with your bobbin sensor. Turn it on, turn it off. Make sure you have one on your new machine, or make sure you can turn it off on your new machine, whatever you want to do.
That's right.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.